You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev, the number one Chevrolet dealer in Canada since 2015, based on Dealer Raider's customer review site. Stop in, say hi. Right now, 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles. That's Lakewood Chev. Bud Steen, 30 years as a CFL official, now an evaluator, joins us in studio. We had a lot of texts. People ask me, because you come on, you evaluate the officials.
Yep.
Does anybody evaluate Command Center?
In theory, yes. All of the plays that go to replay are examined thoroughly, and at the end of the season, they sit down and do a report card, yes. And there are ongoing conversations with those that populate the chair about certain calls, and adjustments have been made in the middle of the year. Standards adjusted. When I say standards, I mean the standards of replay adjusted slightly, just to keep the guys more on point, so to speak.
Now, after the controversy in the game, the Edmonton game, a lot of people were, and I know even Eskimo fans, and I've always said, don't only like it if it favors your team, because that it was not called on the field, which I thought was the right call. It wasn't pass interference in the end zone on Mitchell. Then Jason Moss, and I understand why, didn't have a kicker. It's a year in the end zone. Why wouldn't you challenge it? So he challenges it, and they overturn it, deeming it pass interference. Eskimo score a touchdown a few snaps later as Riley goes in on his own. And, that was a massive 7 points, 8 points. Yeah, because I got the 2 point. Yeah, it was 8 points for that one. So, on a play where I watched it live and then I watched it numerous times, I'm like, that's not pass interference. You're allowed to have your hand on the back of the receiver at what point? And so Randy Ambrosi, the commissioner, who, by the way, has said more in his first 3 weeks than the previous commissioner said, I think, in 2 years. So good on Ambrosi, because he said, quote, I'd be amendable to looking at the instant replay, but that's step five, and we should start at step one. If we need to make a change, talk to the teams about that and let the teams be a driver of whether we should do it sooner rather than later. He feels at times the replay is slowing the game down a little bit too much. Maybe they're replaying, they're reviewing too many plays. From a player standpoint, slowing the games down is hard. What about from an officiating standpoint? Do you feel too many reviews makes it tougher, easier, doesn't matter how you officiate the game in the CFL?
My experience is that it would make the games tougher. Flow of the game is important. And even in a game like Saturday's game in Calgary, where there didn't appear to be much flow, there still is flow to those football games. And when a challenge flag is tossed and you're essentially stopped in your tracks, nothing can happen until the decision is made, it interrupts that nice movement of the game, and it can get in your way a little bit. There's no question about it. I understand why we have replay. I'm just not a huge fan of it.
I understand. I think at certain plays it's definitely necessary, but I can understand when an official misses a call. Split second decision. To me, though, because they don't have the luxury of hindsight. Instant replay is basically hindsight.
Yes.
When you go in hindsight and then you overturn a non-call on the field and make it a call when it's not obvious, that to me is when we say, okay, pump the brakes. We have to look at this. This is not better for the game. That's not better for football, because a guy in command center looks at something. Well, geez, you know what? Because I'm telling you, I was with Eskimo fans. They're like, well, I don't think that's pass interference. These were Eskimo fans that went against their team and they didn't think it was.
Yeah.
So when fans aren't complaining, that's when I'm like, okay, there's no chance that's a call.
Well, in fact, it goes beyond fans. I've talked to coaches about it, and coaches aren't big fans of replay. Now, as you say, there are certain plays where I believe replay is important. Roughing the passer. Sometimes the referee gets caught up in the wash, so to speak, and doesn't see what happens to the quarterback. Yes, in that case, it's player safety, most important player on the field, etc. Fine, let's look at that. let's confirm that points that have been scored were actually scored. But we've got such a shopping list now. There is so much that can be examined. I just don't know that it's necessarily furthering the game.
Bud Steen joins us now. Another play in that game was the backwards lateral pass. Now, because no one actually recovered the ball when the play was blown dead, I don't think a BC player picked up the ball, if my memory serves me correctly.
Yeah, it bounced once and the BC guy grabbed it.
Oh, did grab it after? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So then that would just be a turnover at the line of possession if they deem it that. So they didn't deem it a lateral pass. They didn't deem it, they deemed it a forward pass, basically.
Correct.
Right? How come?
Because there was not indisputable visual evidence that the ball went back. It's the release point of the ball and the first contact point on the ground, and there was nothing that could help determine that that ball went backwards.
So it's not if he's aiming at, it's not if the player stand, because I think a lot of people saw the angle and they say, well, here's the intended receiver was standing behind the quarterback.
Yes.
Right? But it's where the ball lands.
That's right. Where the ball is released and where the ball lands.
Did you think that was the right call?
Yes. I felt that the call on the field was correct, and kudos to the young man that made the call, because, as you say, it was bang right in his face, and he didn't hesitate a millisecond. He was blowing and signaling incomplete immediately. Yeah, that was a really good call.
Now, the other one we talked about was that, I don't know if you want to call it, when you shield, the defender shielding the guy in the end zone?
Screening, yes.
Screening. Yep. What did you make of that call?
Well, I thought that one could have gone either way. It looked to me like the BC player had his hands in the face of the Edmonton receiver. The saving thing for him was that the ball hit his arm and he caught it. So, it could be interpreted as a good defensive play. So I'm fine with that not being pass interference. Tough calls. The guys covering that in the corner have to make a quick decision on it. And there was nothing there on the replay that was so obvious that command center would have had to have said, no, that's pass interference. So they just moved on, thankfully.
Bud Steen joins us inside the stripes. Now, penalties continue to be on the downturn.
Sure. Nicely. Actually, we're down at under 15 and a half a game, a third of the way into the season. So we are, we're down 14% over last year and closer to 25% since 2015. So penalties are way down. The games are moving quicker. Our average game time is now 249. So we're starting to achieve some of our goals, but there is still a sense of too many interruptions in the game. And so good on the commissioner that he's starting the process to look at what we're doing with challenges. If we can smooth that process out somewhat and get these games down to, 235, 245, I think people are going to be a little bit more satisfied.
Coaches now, well, they have the extra challenge that you can carry over. So that's, at times, some people feel like it's just allowed them to, on a marginal call, just throw the flag anyway, just to see if it comes out in their benefit.
They have to have a timeout, because there always has to be a penalty that can be imposed on the team if they're not successful. And with two timeouts in a game and the amount that can happen inside 2 minutes in the Canadian Football League, a la the Winnipeg game, you want those timeouts. You want them in your pocket so that, you can take the greatest advantage of the clock in the last 2 minutes. So, I don't think they're necessarily going to be throwing willy-nilly. If you're successful twice, rules are you can have your third.
Of all of the plays that are now eligible to be reviewed as an official, as somebody now who's kind of stood out of the arena, shall we say, the field, mm-hmm. is there one, if you could just eliminate one play that is not reviewable anymore, which one would it be and why?
Pass interference. Because when we're challenging, when Command Center is reviewing the play, they're looking in two dimensions. And it's quite different when you're down on the field because you've got that perspective and you can actually see whether or not the physical contact between the players is incidental or had an impact. Whereas in two dimensions, it can be confusing. And you can see hands and you can actually sometimes see body movement. I would expect, I haven't spoken to the fellow that was the replay official on the pass interference call you were referring to, but I could anticipate that he saw the hand and he saw the movement on the receiver. Was that Williams?
Yeah, no, it was Brian Mitchell.
Yeah, and saw some movement on Mitchell and interpreted the hand on the waist as turning the Edmonton player. Whereas standing on the field, you get a much clearer picture of that as long as you're in the right position. So that's the part that I'm not the big fan of.
What's your feedback when you, because I know you go around to different teams and talk to coaches and players. Are coaches on the same page as you on that one? Are players on the same page? Would they also prefer to see that eliminated?
Well, I've talked to some coaches that want to get totally rid of replay. They say to me, listen, we make mistakes. We understand that you make mistakes. We're all humans.
Whoa, coaches are saying this?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
And all we want to do is decide the game on the field. Let's just move on. And, you know, I worked that way for over 20 years. And, you know, sure, we got yelled at. Sure, we made mistakes. I made some big ones. But, you know, you just suck it up and move on. And notwithstanding what some coaches said to me during my career, I don't believe that any error that I may have caused or my crew may have caused cost any team a ball game. You know, it may have contributed to points on the board, but we didn't cost anybody a ball game. And that's the critical factor in my view.
Bud Steen joins us inside the stripes. And I'm at Sports Leader at TSN 1260. With the penalties going down, like that's a significant drop from 1 year to last year, right? Yeah. Like significant drop. Now I think I think it's almost like 11 or 12%. That's massive. Why are we seeing such a drastic drop? Like, because I don't know if I can believe that players are suddenly, you know, playing within the rules more. So why are we seeing fewer flags across the board?
Well, we did make a few minor adjustments in our standards, that is the manner in which the officials are applying the letter of the rules. We're allowing offensive line players to move a little bit more than before. We are looking for our holdings to be somewhat more impactful on the play than perhaps they were in the past. Part of it perhaps to a slightly more liberal interpretation of things on the field. And frankly, I think some of it is better coaching and better playing. You know, the defenses now are way, way better. Instead of playing the hook and release that they used to before 2015, they're backing off, or even if they're in press coverage, if they're covering the receiver right off the line of scrimmage tight, the defenders are way better at not getting in their way. They can jam them up a bit in that first 5 yards. They can't hold them, can't grab them, but they've got a real good sense of where the 5 yards is and they're releasing them. So our illegal contacts are down as well. So, you know, I think it's an overall effort on everybody's part just to improve the game, improve the flow of the game, improve the fan experience.
Also, fewer punts across the league, and I think that leads to way fewer no-yards penalties.
Well, that's a very good point. There's a lot more points scored so far, and that has resulted in fewer kicks. And I also I noticed on the stats that our penalties on kicking plays are down again, probably because there are fewer kicks. So I think that probably contributes, because there's when you've got 24 guys all running hell-bent for election, smashing into each other like they do on kick plays, whether it's kickoffs or punts or missed field goals, there's going to be some nasty stuff going on in there, some illegal blocks going on, and so that I think has contributed a fair bit.
Now, Dwayne Mandrusek was just on the sidelines for his 1,000th game.
Amazing.
Officials don't really have an equipment guy for the home team. So over your career, did you interact with a lot of the different equipment guys on each teams? And what made Mandrusek so good?
Well, interestingly enough, Dwayne matured quite a bit over his tenure with the team. In early days, Dwayne was a little over the top in how he would interact with the officials. Let's just say he was less than real nice.
Okay.
He was good at setting guys up. I remember one official who had a particular dislike for root beer. And so Dwayne would know that he was working on a particular night, and the cooler in the dressing room would be full of root beer. Having said that, there is, and good on him. We've had a laugh about it. Good on him. But over the last, say, 20 years, I don't think that there is a person in this league associated with a ball club who has done more for officials, either in the city or visiting officials. He's helpful. If guys need anything, socks, or, you know, they forgot something, or if they need hot shots or something like that on a cold day, he's always there for you. And, you know, I think he has done so well because he is the ultimate Eskimo in that organization. He understands what it means to be an Eskimo. He understands how important it is to the community that the Eskimos are here. And he's a great human being. And, kudos on him. 1,000 games, I can't imagine. He told me that he was very keen on getting involved with football as a young man. And in order to get into the stadium, he'd go over to the hospital and get people and wheel them over in wheelchairs so that he could just be with them and see the game for free. And, he's always wanted to be involved in football, and here he's worked his entire working career, and it's just good on him.
Now, this past weekend, we saw a massive blowout in the CFL, 60-1 in favor of the Calgary Stampeders. When you're officiating a game that's, like, it was 39-1 at the half.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just kind of like, okay, let's just try to keep it going. You know, away we go. Like, there was, in that game, there was a total of 11 penalties, right? Like, that's
11
it.
Flags thrown.
Yeah, sure. And, there's a few no yards calls and, on defense, really. Like, I think Calgary, all of their penalties were on special teams. They didn't have a penalty on offense or defense, which I don't know if I've ever seen that before. That just kind of illustrates how dominant of a team they were that day. Are you ensuring, because guys can have a shorter fuse, I would think, when they're getting that embarrassed out there, do officials have to be monitoring the personalities more in blowouts than you do in tight games?
Yes, you do. Generally, you stay away from the victim, and you go to the perpetrators, and you talk them down from any possible retaliation. You just, guys, I want to get out of here. You want to get out of here. I want you guys to get out of here safe without injury. So don't retaliate. Are they going to be holding you? Likely, yes. Walk away. Doesn't matter. You're 39-1 up. You're whatever, 54-1 up. Just you're gonna put the 2 points on the board. Just walk away, and you got to talk them through it. And you know, there's no question. The question that I asked the supervisor to ask the officials after the game was, please tell me what fouls you chose not to call in the second half of that ball game, so that I can take that into consideration while I'm doing your evaluation. And I got a list of them. There's no question. There was a bunch of stuff that wasn't called because all it was going to do was make it worse than 60-1. And by God, that was the worst football game I have ever seen.
Like, it was sheer domination. Oh. Like, it wasn't even close.
No. It was, you know, interesting. Like, Hamilton came out and their first 5-6 minutes, it looked like they were going to be competitive. They were doing things. They were moving the ball, and you know, I thought, okay, this is going to be an interesting ball game. And then somebody just opened the trap door, and boom, they were in the drink. It was just a sad night.
Bud, enjoy Friday night's game, and we'll see how the week plays out. Well, it'll be hard pressed to be more lopsided, but right now you got 5-0 against 0-5, and the Ticats will come in roaring mad. They're fighting in practice today, yep, which sometimes can turn out to be a good thing for a team. We'll see if they have any fight left on Friday, but there's a chance we could see another blowout.
Well, you know, I'm not so sure. I think Hamilton are going to come in like a caged animal, and the Eskimos better be ready for them, because it's I think going to be hard-nosed football for sure.